I have enjoyed very much getting into this proverb study. I realize that proverbs is something that I've done a lot of reading on over the years, not a lot of I don't know, study or just mulling over it, thinking over it deeper. So it was a good opportunity to do that. And so thank you to those who suggested it. And as Dave mentioned tonight, we are considering the call of wisdom. So before we get into Proverbs, you're going to be in Proverbs 1. If you're flipping through a Bible, you can open up that. Or if you got a device, you can do that as well. But while you're doing that, let your mind wander with me. Imagine a scene. Seems far away from COVID times, but imagine a scene of a like a busy downtown square, just bustling with activity. Maybe Rideau Street, downtown Ottawa, or picture whatever city you like. Just imagine people going in all directions, carrying on with their day. People there for work, there for pleasure, all walks of life, the whole thing. Just a crowded area. Now, in that crowded town square, imagine there was a voice shouting out, calling out over the square, the voice of a woman, and her name was Wisdom. Now that's the scene that the writer of Proverbs has set up for us here in Proverbs chapter 1, a busy town square where people are just carrying on with their lives, and Wisdom is calling out to everyone, specifically to those who are ignoring wisdom, making unwise decisions in their life. And longing for them to correct their ways because disaster awaits if they don't. So that's the scene. Proverbs chapter 1, let's read verses 20 to 33, and then obviously we'll have some comment on that and hopefully something that will help us. So Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Wisdom cries out. She utters her voice in the streets. She cries in the highest place of the concourse, the openings of the gates. In the city, she cries out her words, saying, "How long will you simple love your simplicity? And the mockers delight in their mocking, and the fools who hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make known my words to you. Because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one has regarded. You've said at nothing my counsel and want none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes, as desolation and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They want none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore, they will eat of the fruits of their own ways and be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of the fool shall destroy them, but whoever hearkens to me shall dwell safely, shall be quiet from fear of evil." The call of wisdom.
Jonathan, can I interrupt? I'm not seeing your screen. It's I think.
Yeah, it is just a black screen so
All
far.
right.
So I
Thank you.
will
Sorry
we'll
for that.
reveal a few points as they go. No problem. Wisdom. So Tim has introduced to us in the last Tuesday and the past Sunday that just the topic in general, and we've kind of wrestled about what it is. I think a lot of us, it's one of those things that we could probably know it when we see it, but maybe hard to define in words or pin down. Remember one of my dad's uncles used to always say wisdom was applied knowledge. Like, okay, that's great. What does that mean? How does that help me? But I found myself this past week talking to my 3-year-old in the midst of a situation where she was about to do something that would have been foolish. And I found myself saying very clearly, "Lydia, make a wise decision. Make a wise decision." So why did I use that word? Why is that the word that came in? Now think about this situation for me. You don't need to know the details. I don't even remember the details, but it was something that would have not been good. The fact that I said that meant she had a choice. She had a choice. In some situations in life, you don't have a choice. So we're talking about ones here where you do have a choice. You have an opportunity to make a decision here. When I'm saying make a wise decision, I'm also implying, am I not, that not all outcomes are equal. Some outcomes of your next few seconds could be really bad. Some could be really good. Again, some opportunities in life, you don't have a choice. They're just, that's the hand, as we say, that's dealt to you sometimes. But sometimes you do have a choice. And when you do have a choice, that's where wisdom can come in. Thirdly, The fact that I'm telling her, make a wise choice, am I not saying, you have in your little three-year-old mind accumulated some amount of knowledge or experience that should help you in this situation? In other words, you know what will happen if you make a poor decision. So you're leveraging what you already have, what you already know, what you have experienced, and putting it into practice. And so what we're coming is full circle to what my dad's uncle said. Wisdom is indeed knowledge that's been applied. It's when you learn something, when you have experienced something in the past, the hope is that you can apply that in the future to make a better decision for a better outcome when you have an opportunity to make it. And finally, the last thing about that, the fact that she has some respect, some love, some care for me, meant something in the situation. And so it is with God. When God speaks, we ought to feel the same way. When God says, make a wise decision, if it were God pointing down to me instead of me to my own daughter, all the same things apply. God says, you know better. You have within you the knowledge, experience to make a good decision here. You could make a poor decision and there'd be a bad outcome. And so that's kind of all we're talking about here. So that's where we put our minds back to this busy town square. The picture is people just caring about their daily lives. No one went looking for wisdom. That's one of the first things maybe someone will ask when we study this chapter. Okay, great. Well, where do I get wisdom? Where do I find wisdom? You don't find wisdom. Wisdom finds you. That's what's happening here. These people are just living their lives, and there's opportunities every day to make decisions wise and not. So the first lesson, I put together a single slide here with 7 bullets. I find in this virtual format, especially having a visual component really helps me focus and stay learned. So if you find it helpful, great. If not, feel free to just close your eyes. But the first point of 7 that I'm hoping to bring out tonight is that wisdom is freely available. It's not like this is something you need to go to the greatest schools on earth, attend to higher education and knowledge. It's nothing against those things. But that's not where wisdom is found. Wisdom is found in our daily lives when you're going through the town square. Wisdom is calling out. Now, the second thing we've learned is that wisdom, if you noticed back in verse 22, is calling out to specifically here people who are making unwise decisions. And there was 3 categories of groups that were addressed: the simple, the scorner or the mocker, and the fool. Because these are people who are not following God's ways, not learning, trying to live their lives according to what God said in his word. The simple, the mocker, and the fool. So what is the simple? The simple is someone who just wants to live their life and not know all the perspectives. It's like, have you ever had this situation? Maybe you've even been this person where you're like, you know what? I don't want to know all the points of view. I don't want to know this. I don't want to know that. I know in my head what I believe. I've decided it. And that's just me. I'm going to stay in my lane. I don't want to hear about all the rest of it. Maybe you've worked with or seen or dealt with people like that. You say, well, that could all be fine. That could all be true. But I don't want to hear about it. I'm in my lane. That's simple. Not looking for the answers. You love simplicity. I don't want to crowd my mind with thoughts. And my experience is that as we get further along in years and experience and things in life, that we become more firm, more set in our ways, and more likely to be of that mindset where you're like, you know what, I don't want to hear about it anymore. I'm set, I'm good. That's my thing. That's simple. Wisdom's calling out and saying, you know what, if you're not in your way, you are making a lot of unwise decisions, and you are the exact kind of person that I'm saying to consider your ways. The second one, there's a bit of a regression with these 3, the simple, the mocker, and the fool. They get worse and worse. So the simple, making unwise decisions, but just kind of doing their own thing, doesn't want to hear about it. The mocker, now this is someone not only making unwise decisions with respect to living their lives in a way that would listen to God, but also making fun of those who do. They get a bit of fun, little bit of enjoyment to take shots at or take kicks at those who are trying to live their lives according to God. That was the mocker, the scorner. And they said they delight in doing that. They get some joy in that. The third one was the fool. Now, if you notice, the simple love their simplicity, verse 22. The mocker love to mock. The fool uses a very different word in the scripture. It doesn't say love anything. In fact, they hate. It says knowledge. Now, this has nothing to do with higher learning or intellect or anything like that. This could be the most intelligent person on earth. This is talking about with respect to the ways of the Lord, again, and his word and his ways. It's almost implicit here that this is kind of, picture this is the greatest critics you hear of God's word, like the people who they love to hate on God's word and God's ways, if you will. Very strong word. I'm reminded of my sister-in-law, her son one time, they had a meal and she had fed him avocado. And he said, "Mama, I hate avocado." And she said, "Wow, that's a really strong word." He said, "Yeah, Mama, that's why I used it." He knew it was a really strong word and he was trying to get that point across. So when the scripture's saying hate here, hate knowledge, wisdom again is calling out, whether you're just passively doing your own thing or mocking God's ways, whatever, or you're vehemently against it, the greatest critic on earth of the ways of God, wisdom is equal opportunity calling out and saying, listen to what you're doing. You're making unwise decisions. Now, what if they don't do anything? Well, the next lesson, 24 to 27, was that wisdom ignored brings disaster. Now, I love that Tim pointed out, I believe it was last week, the Proverbs, these are not rules to apply to your life. And if you do this, this will be the outcome. These are principles. And so generally speaking, some decisions you'll make, you could make a poor decision, but you know what? You live to meet another day. Some decisions you could make tonight that could change the rest of your life in a bad way. I don't know what you're going to be doing the rest of the evening. I hope that that's not going to be the case, but that's the fact of the matter. Some decisions we can't come back from. There is calamity and disaster, destruction that awaits, sometimes in this life, sometimes in the life to come. And so this is the lesson. If we ignore God's word, God's wisdom saying, make a wise decision here, there, or wherever, there can be bad outcomes. Just because we haven't experienced them yet doesn't mean that will always be the case. In verse 26, I don't know if you picked up on that. It says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. Wisdom as presented in this passage here, I don't believe is God. Wisdom, well, why do I say that? Well, take in point Jerusalem in the New Testament. Remember the Lord Jesus. Think about the nation of Israel. Did they make wise decisions with regard to Messiah? Well, no. No, they didn't. But yet, what was the Lord's reaction? Did he laugh at them? No, of course. You read Luke 19. He drew near into the city. He wept over the city. It bothered him. It moved him deeply that their unwise decisions were about to bring great disaster, great calamity upon the nation. And he didn't laugh at that. But this is, in verse 26, not God, but rather wisdom itself. And I think we could relate a little bit. Think about a time in your life when you blew it, when you did the wrong thing, when you said the wrong thing or just some action, whatever, and you realized to yourself, you know what, I knew better. I shouldn't have done that. You say, I knew there was a wise decision. I chose not to do it anyway. Isn't it in that moment, it's almost like wisdom is kind of mocking me, saying you're an idiot, you're a fool. Why did you do that? That's what it's saying here. Wisdom itself is saying you knew better and yet you didn't do it. And wisdom will do that to us. Come down to verse 28, and I call that wisdom's urgency. This calling out in the town square while people were just carrying on their daily lives, that was great. He's calling out to the simple, the mocker, and the fool because they are making unwise decisions. But you know what? That call will not always be there. That's the warning here. If you in your life know that you are living a life or doing things that you know are not wise according to God's word and God's way, we need to deal with that ASAP because there will not always be an opportunity to repent. The grace will not always be there. And sometimes when you make a decision, you can never take the consequences back. Again, different situations, different outcomes, but that's the fact of the matter here. In verse 28, it says, they will call to me one day after disaster strikes, but I won't answer. They'll seek me early, but they won't find me. This wisdom, this seeking, this is almost like God's Spirit taking what you know from your word and from advice and those around you as you grow, and it's just prodding you. It's conviction. That's a lot of this is where this wisdom is coming from, to help you to make wise decisions on a daily basis. And when you ignore that and ignore that and ignore that, someday that prodding's not going to be there. And the outcome was disastrous. Verse 29, I called wisdom defined. If you read it again, it says that they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. So those were the people who didn't listen. So by definition, if you see on my slide, I said, well, just flip that around then. Those are people who didn't follow wisdom, made unwise decisions. Well, then wisdom is the opposite, to not hate, but love knowledge and to fear the Lord. That to me is the fundamental definition of wisdom, what we're talking about here. To love knowledge, what I mean is you want to know what is the right way. You want to learn from God and from his people, from his word, from his spirit. How do I decide to do situation X, Y, and Z? What do I do in here? See, the simple was the exact opposite. The simple person just says, you know, I don't want to know. I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't want to know if what I'm doing is wrong. Don't tell me. Don't bother me with that. Wisdom would say that's very unwise. Wouldn't you want to know the right thing? Like, wouldn't you want to know if there was a heaven and a hell? Wouldn't you want to know if there was a God who loved you and had done something bad to you? And some people, would you say that and say, no, actually, I don't want to know. Don't tell me about that. That's the simple. Some people will mock you, say you're a fool. That's the mocker. And some people will vehemently come after you. That's the fool. All three of those categories are here. That wisdom was wanting to know what God's way was. And just as my example, Lydia at the start, who had, there was some love, respect, some fear, if you will, of her parent, not fear that I was going to break her in half, just a reverence. I remember someone defined years ago, it's come up many times, but what is the fear of the Lord? It defined it as a dread of displeasing him. Just as I had this awful feeling, I didn't want to let my parents down. I loved them. There's times when obviously we were at odds. I think everyone could relate to that. But when it all boiled down, there was a respect there, a love, a fear. I didn't want to let them down. I didn't want to displease them. And that's a healthy relationship with God too, that we don't want to blow it. We don't want to let him down. And that fear causes us to long after his knowledge, his word, and to heed wisdom's call, to make wise decisions according to his word. The next one, the outcome of wisdom ignored, verse 32. The simple, it says, the turning away of the simple will slay them. The prosperity or the complacency of the fools will destroy them. There's this, the simple has picked a way, but if it's the wrong way, they just continue on, don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear knowledge. I don't want to look after it. And they just take that way to the end. And if it's a way that's apart from God, that decision was fatal and final. The fool, it says, is complacent and comfortable and all this, but if not making wise decisions, they're not in a good place for God. But the flip side of it was the reward of wisdom. Verse 33, whoever hearkens unto me, that is wisdom, will deal safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Again, this is not a promise. This is not a statement that if you could make the perfect decision every day, although I suppose if that were the case, there would be good outcomes with that, but none of us live up to that, do we? But generally speaking, if we make wise decisions according to the plan that God has laid out in his word, in his life, and from his people around us as we get advice, there will be a safety, there will be a quietness, a fear, a peace, a freedom from fail, and just a peace that comes along with that, isn't it? Because you know you're in God's way. God's telling us there is right and wrong. Some decisions are better than others. And his wisdom is trying to help us to find that right one when you're faced with a decision like that. The second half of our message tonight was in Proverbs 8. If you read the notes beforehand, Proverbs 1 was the call of this woman here. Well, Proverbs 8 is another call. And I have one more point that I want to take out from that before we wrap things up. So I always say the hardest part of virtual, you don't get to hear the flipping pages of a Bible, so you don't know when people are actually there. Just give a few seconds and hope you're following along. Proverbs chapter 8. And we're going to read the first 11 verses. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding puts forth her voice? She stands in the top of the high places by the way that the paths meet. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice to the sons of man. You simple, understand wisdom. You fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right. My mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them, crooked. They're all plain to him who understands, and right to him that receives knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver. Knowledge rather than the choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. So you will notice in these 11 verses some big similarities to the passage we read back in Proverbs chapter 1. There's a voice calling out in the midst. But one of the main differences was Proverbs 1 was, I tried to set the scene for you, that busy city square. People just living their lives. Nobody's setting up tomorrow, okay, today I'm going to go hunting for wisdom. No, they were just living their life, but wisdom was there. It's in front of all of us every day. There are decisions and things that we make, and we can make good choices or bad choices, wise ones and unwise. It's calling out to everyone. People who don't want to hear it, still, God's word, God's way is calling out, wanting people to make wise decisions. That was the busy town square, just living our lives. This one, though, notice the setting was slightly different in chapter 8. It was, the expression I like is the place where the paths meet. This is the moment of decision. What one of us, whether it be what job you're going to take, what school you're going to go to, who you're going to marry, just think of the biggest decisions you have to make in your life. That's where you're at here in Proverbs 8. The place where the paths meet. There's a decision to make here, and the stakes are high. Some decisions we make, not too significant. Some decisions we make, like I said, can put us on a good path or put us on a terrible path for the rest of our life. What one of us wouldn't want the wisdom of God in that situation? What one of us wouldn't want to know what is the better decision to make? Well, that's wisdom here calling out. And the lesson I wanted to take from it was right at the end there in 10 and 11. I called it wisdom's choice. And it's talking about riches and gold and silver and rubies. And it says wisdom actually was far better, pointing out this, that sometimes material wealth, success, riches, whatever you want to call it, whatever your silver, gold, and rubies are today, could be mutually exclusive with making the wise choice. In other words, the wise choice is setting those things aside. As I was studying this, couldn't help but think Jerry Libby was sharing there a few months back, and he shared the story of a woman who was in a very successful job and career, and there was there was a relationship that was developing with a coworker, and she knew this was not a good thing, and she decided to quit that job, to turn aside that silver, gold, and rubies, and presumably take something else that was not going to be as good nor as successful nor the rest of it. But she knew, for the sake of her life, her marriage, her relationship with God, the wise decision was to bury the silver, gold, and rubies and to walk away. And so in that place where the paths meet, there was a big decision to be made. And one, you couldn't have both, I guess is what I'm trying to say here. There was no opportunity. A decision had to be made. And the one was made was to take the wise thing, which was to maintain relationships that she had established before God and to live in a way that she felt was honoring to God. That's just one example. I'm sure you could think of others, but where the paths meet, God wants us to choose the right path. His word and his way will guide us. We pray for wisdom and God will give it. And thank God for those around us, people who we look up to, men and women around us who we have tremendous respect for. That's another great source of wisdom, people who have lived along the way. But that's kind of the wisdom's call, these 7 points that I threw up on the screen that meant something to me. The idea that every day, we don't go looking for wisdom. Wisdom finds us. We're presented with these situations. We want to use what we know, use what we've learned, but let's not assume that we've learned it all already. That's why we don't want to be like the fool who hates knowledge. You want to love knowledge. All of us ought to have a desire to grow and to want to know, what is God's way? What does God want me to do in this situation? That's a healthy attitude. That's a wise attitude. And when we have that kind of attitude, then we're put in these situations, we make decisions. Not all outcomes are equal. Wisdom's calling out to all of us, the simple, the mocker, and the fool. I hope that's none of us tonight. I hope we're the people who want to strive after God's word and God's way. But that was the call of wisdom to the world, to learn that there was a consequence for not doing things God's way, whether the consequence is immediate or not. Calamity, disaster, destruction, that came out in both of these passages. And that was the result if we don't seed and heed wisdom's call. So thank you for your attention, and I hope we can have a good time of prayer and put this into practice, because wisdom's coming tomorrow, whether we like it or not.